Good evening. If you'd like to turn your Bible this evening to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. In just a moment, we will take that as our text for our lesson this evening. When I was young, there was a weekly television program sponsored by an insurance company called Mutual of Omaha. And that program was called Wild Kingdom. And it came on once a week, and we watched that program. Older white-haired gentleman Marlon Perkins was the host, and he had a helper, Jim. Looking back on it now, it's kind of funny. Jim was the guy that had to wrestle with the alligator and pick up the venomous snake and be chased around by the lion, while the older man, Marlon Perkins, he's over here on the side, and he was saying things like, now, if you'll notice, Jim over here, and he's flailing around in the water, and the alligator's throwing him under the water. Jim's got an alligator. I always thought that was funny. But that program often highlighted animals that would teach their young how to do what they needed to do to survive. And so they would show the parent birds teaching the baby birds how to eat and how to fly, and the parent lion teaching the cubs how to hunt and get food and things like that. And the point was that these animal parents were teaching their young how to survive on their own. Because they know, by God's design, these parents teach their young because they know that they're not going to be around forever. And that baby bird has to learn how to fly and has to learn how to eat. And that young lion has to learn how to hunt. And it's amazing God's design that He builds into the animals. You take, for example, the bald eagle or a number of different kind of birds. They will push their young up to the edge of the nest, and then they will jump to the next limb. And the little babies will jump to the next limb. And then they'll jump to another limb, and the little babies jump over there. They're what we call baby steps, just teaching them how to flap their wings maybe one time just to get over to that next limb. And then they take it a next step and a next step, and pretty soon they know how to fly. They're doing that so that the young know how to eventually stand on their own two feet, we say. And we're going to talk about that this evening. For our young people, I want us to see the importance this evening of learning to stand on our own two spiritual feet. And as parents, hopefully we're doing the same thing with our children. We're teaching them as they go along the things that they're going to need to know when they get out on their own. And not only do we do that physically, you know, you need to learn how to budget. You're going to have to do that when you get out on your own. You need to learn how to work. You're going to do that when you get out on your own. You're going to need to do this. You're going to need to do that. And so we teach them all along. Hopefully we're also doing that in a spiritual sense. That one day you're going to need to be a faithful Christian out on your own. So here's how you do that. So like the parents of the baby bird or the lion or whatever the animal is, as parents, we do that with our children. And we know the importance of teaching them to stand on their own two spiritual feet, because we're not always going to be around. And in some cases, it could be death. It could be where a positive influence passes from the scene because of death. But it could just simply be we're not as close to our children as we once were physically. They're living somewhere else. They're out on their own. They need to learn how to stand on their own two spiritual feet. So in order to encourage us along these lines, I want us to look at the life of a king of Judah named Joash in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're told in this account, it's an interesting lesson, that this young king who served for 40 years, he was good, but only when someone was right around him. And when that influence was taken away, he wasn't good anymore. And so I want us to learn this evening, and I want our young people to be encouraged this evening, that it's great to be good. But if we're good only because we're around good, if we're doing certain spiritual things only because others are around us encouraging that, there's going to come a day when that influence is not around us, and most likely we won't be doing that good. We have to learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet. The mother bird or the daddy bird knows that they're young, they have to flap their wings for themselves. They have to hunt for themselves. They have to learn how to build their own nest. Because one day that's what they're going to be doing. Mom and dad won't always be around. And so I want to challenge our young people this evening to stand on your own two spiritual feet. Let me ask you this. If mom and dad were not with you this evening, would you be here this evening? We have at least one young person here this evening whose parents aren't here, and she's here, and that's a good thing. But would you be here if your parents weren't here? Would you be here this evening, young people? Would you be doing what you're doing? Would you be reading your Bible if they didn't ask you to do that? Would you be filling out your Bible class lesson if they weren't checking on that? Would you be doing good works for other members of the church? We want to get to the point, young folks, that we're doing that on our own. And that is a great point to be at. It's the mature and truly faithful place to be in life. When you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, just to get some background here this evening, you're looking at the seventh king of Judah named Joash or Jehoash. If you consider in the chapter right before, the 6 years that Athaliah usurped the throne, he would be the eighth. Some call him the eighth. I'm calling him the seventh this evening because he's the rightful one to be on the throne. Athaliah usurped the throne for 6 years. She wasn't supposed to be there. And then Joash takes over and he rules for 40 years, about 835 to 796 B.C. And look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. 2 Chronicles 22, 10 through 12. He's protected from Athaliah, who wants to kill all of the sons, which is going to be her grandsons. I want you to think about how wicked this woman is. She's not just randomly killing some young men. This is her own family. She's a very wicked woman. And so she saw that her son was dead. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. And Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Azariah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in the bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king of Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. This man, who's the priest, Jehoiada, and his wife, hide this baby, this child, this one-year-old, away for 6 years. And when he's 7 years old, chapter 24 and verse 1, he's going to be made king, and he's going to rule for 40 years. In chapter 23, Jehoiada, the priest, shows two things about himself, what a great man he was. If you look at chapter 23, verses 1 through 15, you find that he's a very courageous man because he makes a plan to remove Athaliah, she's killed, and to put Joash on the throne. And he marshals almost like a bodyguard type of soldier to surround Joash and bring him to the temple and make him the king. Athaliah is eventually slain, this usurper, this person who's not supposed to be there. And I find it interesting, if you'll notice in chapter 23 and verse 14, you'll see this even today among liberals and other people in society. The very thing that they're crying out, The very thing that they charge other people with, they're doing the same thing. That happens all the time. And you'll see it even today. Notice in verse 13, chapter 23, 13, she's crying, treason, treason. And she's the one who's treasonous. It happens all the time. Whatever they're accusing other people of, they're guilty of the same thing. You'll notice that in the world today. So eventually she's removed and Joash is protected by Jehoiada and he's placed on the throne. Well, the account that we want to look at this evening is in chapter 24. In verses 16 through 21, not only is he a courageous man, but this is very important. Verse 16, Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be Jehovah's people. Get rid of the idolatry, come back and be God's people. So he's not just courageous physically, but he's also spiritually minded. We have to come back to the covenant of God. And so Joash, when he's 7 years old, he has a man, Jehoiada, who is a very good spiritual advisor and mentor. This boy is 7 years old. And Jehoiada is a person who is extremely faithful to God. And he puts Joash in an environment of learning that which is right and good. And I want to say this evening that I'm encouraged by our young people who have that good influence in their life. They have parents and in some cases grandparents who are godly, faithful Christians. And it's great to be having that. And you're blessed to have that. Not every young person obviously has that, and you do. You're blessed to have godly parents and that influence and to be around other Christians. That's a very good thing. But this evening's lesson is this. While you're around that, you want to be learning to stand on your own two spiritual feet because there's going to come a day where that good influence is not immediately and directly around you. You're going to have to make your own choices. And we're going to see this evening that Joash wasn't able to do that. He was good only when he was surrounded by good. And we can do better. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. And that's why we go back and we look at these Old Testament stories. Joash, because of the good influence of Jehoiada, he's naturally going to follow him. So let's pick up the reading in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. The parallel account, if you are studying this in a fuller sense, you'll want to look at 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the eyes of Jehoiada all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. If there is one negative thing about Jehoiada, it's the fact that he took for him two wives. The king was not to do that, Deuteronomy chapter 17. But for the most part, Jehoiada is a man who is going to be a godly influence on this young Joash. But I want you to notice in the text, in verse 2, that statement, all the days of Jehoiada. That looks innocent on the surface. That looks like it might not be much to talk about on the surface. But it's actually saying that this young man is going to be this way during his lifetime, and then he's going to stop being that way. And we'll see in a minute. Compare that with the statement in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 2. And Jehoash, his other name, did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah all the days, look at this, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. He's good when he's surrounded by good. But tragically, he never learned to stand on his own two spiritual feet. The first lesson that I want us to consider this evening, brethren and friends, is for our young folks, is that godly influence is great. It's good to have and important to have godly parents and godly influences. But you still have to learn to stand on your own two spiritual feet. What is happening today, and we'll talk about this some more, Lord willing, next Sunday night when we talk about
why many young people are leaving the faith. What happens is that you get up to a time where you're making your own choices and you're getting out on your own, but you never learned the principle to stand on your own two spiritual feet. And so when you have that opportunity, you simply do not do that. You were good, but it was because you were surrounded by good. We want to be good at all times. And so notice in verse 4, "And it came to pass after this that Jehoash was minded to restore the house of Jehovah." And he's about 30 years old at this time. "And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not." Probably because they had had 6 years of evil influence of Athaliah, and they're just dragging their feet on this restoration project. "And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the tax of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, and of the assembly of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of Jehovah did they bestow upon the Balaam." 6 years, this had been ruined for the temple. It's time to get it back the way it's supposed to be. So you see that Jehoiada is doing a great deed here. He's wanting to repair the temple. And he's surrounded by a man who's going to work with him to do that. "So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of Jehovah. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for Jehovah the tax that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. And it was so that at the time the chest was brought into the king's officers by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, and the king's scribe and the chief priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to its place again. And they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of Jehovah. And they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of Jehovah, and also such as wrought iron and brass to repair the house of Jehovah. So the workmen wrought, and the work of repairing went forward in their hands, and they set up the house of God in its state and strengthened it." This man is doing good. What a great young man. What a great activity to restore God's people back and to get the temple back to where it is supposed to be. Verse 14. "And when they had made an end, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of Jehovah, even vessels wherewith to minister and to offer, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of Jehovah continually all the days of Jehoiada." We have this expression again, underscore in your Bible, "all the days of Jehoiada." Joash did good while Jehoiada was with him. This temple is about 134 years old. When you get a building that's 134 years old, there's going to need to be some repairs. Plus, the last 6 years had been under the reign of Athaliah, and she tore it down, and so it needs to be restored. And he's doing a great job in doing that. But as we're going to see here in just a minute, some are good only in good company. Some are good only when pressed by others. And young people, I want to encourage you tonight to be good, not because you're being pressed by somebody else, but because you want to be that way. You want to go out and serve God, whether somebody around you is encouraging you to do that or not. You've got to get to that point in life. Let's be someone who's going to go out and do what is good. What's interesting about this, if you'll turn over a couple of chapters, when you look at the grandson of Joash, his name is Uzziah.
Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. The same thing happened to him. I don't know if it's coincidence. I don't know if he learned it from his grandfather, but we have a similar situation going on there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5, with regard to Uzziah, and he set himself to seek God, look at this, in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. And as long as he sought Jehovah, God made him to prosper. And we know that later in verse 16, when he was proud and strong and lifted up, that he left God. He did such and such in the days of such and such. What that is saying is he's being good, but when he's around somebody that's good. The second thing that we need to learn this evening is, and we're going to pick up the reading in verse 15, that if we don't learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet, we're going to be a dedicated, faithful, young Christian, regardless of what is now going on in my life, regardless of whether my parents are around or not. We've got to learn something very important, that without this spiritual commitment, we're going to fall prey to bad influences, and we may just outright reject God's word. Let's pick up the reading in verse 15. But here's the problem. Things are going great. Joash is good. But we have a but in the text. We have a contrast now. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And that's the whole point of tonight's lesson. I'm good when I'm surrounded by good. But when that is taken away from me and somebody comes and says things to me, they made obeisance to the king. Oh, great one. You're awesome. When people come and say things to me, all of a sudden I start following them. And so when the world comes in and the world is saying things and they're trying to vie for my attention and my affection, when that good influence is now gone, then all of a sudden I'm just going to go after that. And that's what happens. There was a vacuum and a void that was filled by the world. And that's how the devil works, young people. When you have a vacuum and a void, he's going to fill it as soon as he can before somebody else can get a hold of you. Then the king hearkened unto them. Look at it. And they forsook the house of Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guiltiness. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto Jehovah. And we're going to get an example of that in just a minute. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. I don't want to hear it. So I want our young people to learn to stand on their own two spiritual feet, because mom and dad won't always be around. Grandma and grandpa won't always be around. The godly members of a particular local church, they're not always going to be around. And not only physically around, they're not going to be around influentially. They're not always going to be there to say something to you when that worldly person is saying the opposite, or when another weak member of the church is saying something. Their voice is not always going to be there. You can't have them around 24/7. And so the second lesson that we need to learn is that if we don't learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet, there's going to be a vacuum and a void, and the world is going to fill that. Some people are one death away from apostasy. What I mean by that is, I'm living right, and I'm doing right, and there's this good influence in my life right next to me, and they die, and boom, I go into apostasy. Some people are one death away from apostasy because they have not learned to stand on their own two spiritual feet. we can do better than that, and I hope we will. Joash was fickle and ungrateful. Notice in verse 18 that he immediately starts serving the gods that Jehoiada had worked hard to get rid of. And they just rebuilt the temple. That part of it had been destroyed and desecrated because of this matter of idolatry with Athaliah. Now, I'm just, whatever. People come, they praise me, they give me some attention, they say some things to me. Well, whatever you want. We can do better than that. The second thing was, he was ungrateful. Now, we're getting into a situation here in verse 20 that is just mind-boggling. But it's what happens when we don't learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet. Look at verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of the man who saved him. Literally, hid him away from Athaliah and saved him. The son of the man who raised him right and who showed him the right way, his son stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of Jehovah so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken Jehovah, he hath also forsaken you. And they, including Joash, they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of Jehovah. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, Jehovah, look upon it and require it. That's when he, Zechariah, died. He said, God's going to hold you accountable for this, and we'll see that he does in just a minute. That's why I say ungrateful. The very man who raised you and saved you and gave you all that was good, you turn right around and you kill his son because you don't like him telling you what God says. If we don't learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet, number one, we become fickle. We're faithful. Then all of a sudden we're unfaithful. And the second thing is we become ungrateful for all of the good that those who have given us things, parents, grandparents, godly members of the church, all of those Bible class lessons, all of those sermons, all of the counseling, all of the patience, all of the good things that have been given your first 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years of life, all of that is thrown down the drain because you don't want to hear that. We've got to learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet. And not only remain faithful ourselves, but as we continue to go through life, we appreciate the good that others have done for us. And we want to continue that in our own life. So, to that point, I say, young people, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room. Controls the temperature in the room. Controls the environment. A thermometer, all it does is just reflect what's in the room. Don't just reflect what's in the world around you. Don't just reflect what your friends and neighbors are saying and what the world wants you to just go along with that. Don't just reflect. Set it. Control it. You be in the driver's seat. When those people came to him in verse 17, he should have said, you get out of here. Don't be bowing down to me and buttering me up and saying all of this kind of thing to get me on your side. Get out of here. I was raised to be good, and that man Jehoiada died, and I'm going to miss him, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to be good in his absence. Now, you folks get out of here. No, it's just got bowled over or whatever, you know. Let's be strong, young folks. Be strong. Stand on your own two spiritual feet. You set the temperature in the room, not the other way around. And you'll be blessed for it. The third lesson that we learn in this text, if you pick up the reading in verse 20 and following, where Joash is a part of conspiring against Zechariah and killing the son of Jehoiada, we find that there's going to be negative consequences to not standing on your own two spiritual feet. This is not a light thing. This is not just something that we should dismiss. There's going to be serious consequences when we don't learn. And just like that little baby animal, if you know the bird that doesn't learn to fly, that's the bird that dies. The bird that doesn't learn to fly, that doesn't learn to eat, that doesn't learn to build its own nest. The lion that doesn't learn to hunt, and all of that, you die. If nothing else, from starvation. You've got to learn those things that you're going to need later in life. And so when we don't learn to stand on our own two spiritual feet, there's going to be some negative consequences, and we've already seen some. You just get bowled over by worldliness, and you just cave to that. You become ungrateful. But also look at some other things. In verse 23, it came to pass at the end of the year that the army of the Syrians came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem to destroy all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. God is carrying out that statement of Zechariah. Jehovah look upon it and require it. He's going to hold you accountable, Joash. And he does that by first sending these Syrians. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and Jehovah delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken Jehovah, the God of their fathers. So they executed judgment upon Joash, just like Zechariah said. And when they were departed from him, for they left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed. And he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. That's a very important statement. If you notice back in verse 16, Jehoiada was buried in the city among the kings. That was a place of respect and honor. And to be buried not among the kings is a place of disgrace and dishonor. You're not going to prosper. You're going to be abandoned and forsaken by the Lord. Verse 20, He hath also forsaken you. You'll be judged. And then last of all, you won't be respected. Now the world will like you. Yeah, they'll love you. They'll be in with all that. But you won't be respected. And so let me encourage you this evening to stand on your own two spiritual feet. And of course, the account ends. Verse 26, And these are they that conspired against him. You reap what you sow. He had conspired against Zechariah. Now people are conspiring against him. Zabad, the son of Shimeath of the Ammonites, and Jehozabad, the son of Shemarith of the Moabites. The Moabitess. Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens or the oracles or the prophecies upon him and the rebuilding of the house of God, behold, they are written in the commentary of the book of the Kings. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Just a terrible ending to this guy. Why? Because he was good only when he was surrounded by good. So as we close this evening, I want us to consider one last thing. Where the rubber meets the road. What can we do as young people to develop our own spiritual legacy? What can we do as young people to stand on our own two spiritual feet? Now is the time in your life to be working to do that very thing. What can you do? And what can we as parents encourage our young people to do? Well, first of all, I would encourage you this evening to stay active in the local church by your own choosing, whether you are at home or away. And by your own choosing. You go up to one of the elders or whoever's planning the service and the activity and what needs to be done, and you walk up to them and say, "Would you put me down for such and such?"
any of us can do something when somebody asks us to. Bob comes up to me and says, "Hey, Chris, can you do something?" "Sure, I'll do it." I'm talking about going to somebody else before they ask me, before they encourage me, before there's an announcement made, and just go up and say, "I want to put my name down for such and such." I'm learning then to stand on my own two spiritual feet, where down the road I'm going to be active. And as parents and as others in the church, we can set a good example of that for our young people. Let's do that ourselves. Anybody can do something when somebody is on us. Jehoiada was on him about being good. And when Jehoiada's gone, he just immediately went to the world. Joash was not developing his own two spiritual feet, his own legacy. He was always living in the shadow of Jehoiada. Develop your own spiritual legacy. You be the Bible class teacher. You be the volunteer. You be the one who serves in the local church, whether you're at home or away at college or wherever you might be. Stay active by your own choosing. Along those lines, do good works on your own without being told. Any of us can go do something for Miss Thelma. When somebody comes and says, "Would you go do such and such for Miss Thelma?" I think all of us would say, "Sure, I'll go do that." But why not just do it without even being told? You ever thought about that? Do you know what all of our young people have? All of our young people have cell phones, and all of our young people have their own cars. And that's a pretty cool thing. Use your own cell phone to make your own calls to go do something that is good. Get in your car and you drive somewhere in your car to go do something good for somebody. You make something for somebody. You see, it's great that mom and dad are doing that, and it's great that sister so-and-so in the church does that and brother so-and-so, but you do that. You use your phone and your car. And you know another thing that our young people have? A lot of our young people have their own bank account. They've got money in their bank account that they've been putting in there from summer jobs and other kinds of things. You could use some of your own money to go buy such and such for some needy person in the church. You see, when you're doing that, you're learning to stand on your own two spiritual feet. And it's such a great thing that you will never regret doing that the rest of your life. Never. I put Bible reading, prayer, attendance, whatever it is, whether it's here at the building or whether it's outside the building, be doing that on your own. And when you get out later, it won't matter what mom and dad are doing or anybody else. You're going to be doing that on your own, because you're learning to do that. And that's a great thing. Do what is right without being pressed by others. Mom and dad can press us. The elders, the preacher, somebody at church can say something to us to you know, "You need to do this." That's a great thing. Nothing wrong with that. But why not just do it without being pressed? When we know what is right, go ahead and do that. Whether it's learning more of God's Word or growing in our service to God and maturing, whether it's participating more in the local church, do that without somebody pressing us to do that. And we will go a long way in serving the Lord. I want to close this evening with a few scriptural admonitions. We know that Daniel was away from home. Daniel and his friends were away from home. They didn't have that good spiritual influence right on them. They're off in Babylon. And we know the passage in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 that said that he resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. He didn't have to have mom and dad right there telling, no, don't defile yourself. He's way off in Babylon. And the three that are thrown in the fiery furnace for not bowing down to the idol, they didn't have to have mom and dad right there
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't have to have old brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so standing right there saying, now don't commit idolatry. They're on their own. But they stood on their own two spiritual feet. And it's because they had made the resolve themselves. And that's a great thing. And you can do that today. When Paul was about to leave toward the end of his life, he writes 1 and 2 Timothy. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he knows that he's not always going to be around to be that mentor to Timothy and to be that good example in his life. And Paul was such a great influence for Timothy. But he knows that he's not going to always be around. So notice what he says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but you be an example to them that believe. Listen, Timothy, I'm doing my best as aged Paul to be an example. I'm teaching people, I'm converting people, I'm being a good example to people, but you need to learn to do that. So you be an example to them that believe in these various areas, in word, how you talk, in manner of life, what you do throughout the day, in love, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Be diligent in these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress may be manifested unto all. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. Notice Paul is just over and over again, Timothy, you need to do this, you need to do that. And when you do, I won't be around, you'll save yourself and those that hear you. Standing on your own two spiritual feet. And I'd like to think that Timothy did that very thing. And then last of all, don't quit after you've come so far. Jehoiada had brought Joash for many years, brought him so far only to what? Just quit. Paul said, you were running well. Who hindered you? Young people, you've come so far. You've had the godly parents. You've had the elders and the preaching and other things that, and the Bible class teachers. You've had all of that that have brought you spiritually far. Don't just quit. Go all the way to the end. And so in 2 John verse 8, we need to hold on to what we have. And the way you hold on is you learn to stand on your own two spiritual feet. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves. It's great that mom and dad have been good around you. But you're going to have to look to yourself. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Don't lose it. Later in life, when that influence is taken away for whatever reason. We're all getting older. And parents are going to pass away. Grandparents are going to pass away. Preachers and elders and Bible class teachers and faithful brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're going to pass away. You're going to be the church of tomorrow. And you'll be there when you're standing spiritually on your own two feet. Let's learn from Joash and be different. I believe our young people can be different. I believe our young people here and those who will hear this lesson, I believe you want to be different. You don't want to be like that. Take your talents, take your things that you have, your cell phone, your car, your bank account, your talents, your body, your mind, and go out and do those things that God wants you to do. Be active now. And not only will you make your parents pleased and proud of that, but more importantly, you'll please the Heavenly Father. And it won't be that tragic end that Joash had. It'll be the end of someone who was faithful all through their life. And I hope that our lesson this evening will encourage us along those lines. As we stand and sing this song of invitation, it's certainly an opportunity for someone to begin that good life in being baptized into Christ or to come back to the Lord in some way, when we would certainly encourage you to do that, and we can assist you as we stand and as we sing.